science, by definition, allows for more than one opinion. Otherwise, you merely have the will of one man, which is the basis of cult.
If it's not in the frame, it doesn't exist.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I illusion.
Where you been?
Drunk. Wendy? Billy! Darling? Light of my life.
What is your one purpose in life?
To explode, of course.
I like death with sex. How about you, Casey? You like sex with death?
Yeah, so fuck up and die.
This movie has a lot of history. I can't believe,
like,
that it's real.
Within the production or, like, everything it says about, like, Plato and everything? Because I know that's real. No.
Well, that is what's crazy. It's like, this is definitely something, like, it's kind of fun. It is, I don't know. I mean, now I'm teetering into flat earth, like a flat earther theory right now. Like the fact that, like, I believe there could have been, like, a civilization that drowned.
It's such a bummer that all conspiracy theories are now wrapped up into the fucking idiots that are like, it's like, no, it's like Atlantis. It's like, it's kind of fun, but now it's just like, now I'm part of Q now all of a sudden, like, just because I believe it in Atlantis or whatever.
I know, right? Like, yeah, like, I'm still going to get my kids vaccinated. Like, I'm not.
How can I take the vaccines out?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Take them to the doctor.
Yeah.
So, this movie is so factually accurate. It's basically a documentary. We are converted now. We watched, obviously. Oh, so this is the Cult of Cinema Knowledge podcast. We're now a history podcast. We believe in Atlantis now, but from watching the movie Atlantis, The Lost Kingdom, the 2001 animated Disney film.
Welcome to the episode of Hardcore History. This is your Dan Harmon or whatever the hell the guy's name is. I can't remember his name is. We're here to talk about a little fun adventure film that I've never seen before. So,
you've never seen it?
No, this is definitely. I'm not a big Disney guy, if that hasn't come across before on the
podcast. Neither am I. I like pretty, I'm pretty, dare I say, somewhat anti-Disney. Don't come for me in the streets, people listening.
You're not even really anti.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm anti-Disney the corporation at this point, because they just fucking swallow everything, obviously. But
yeah, right.
But, like, you don't have to be a Disney guy to have seen a fucking cartoon when you were 10.
You're not a Disney dad?
When I was 10 years old, when I saw this movie, I wasn't like going with my Mickey Mouse Clubhouse t-shirt and my fucking ears and be like, I'm going to go see Atlantis. because I'll watch anything Disney puts out. I'm like, no, I went and saw it because it was a fun adventure movie, and I got the fucking toy in the McDonald's kids meal that did the advertising for me, which I 100% got like two Atlantis toys from McDonald's from this movie. I wish I had them still.
I don't remember them.
One was like a little Milo on like a little, like one of the little cruisers, you know, it was like a little, it wasn't lined up, but it like was like a flicking thing.
Yeah.
And then the other one was, the other one I had was like the crystal necklace.
Oh, that's cool.
It was pretty dope. Yeah, it was pretty dope.
Did it light up? Was it like legit?
I feel like it light up, but then again, my memory might be over. Yeah. It might've been like a real hunk of shit. But in my mind, in the, you know, 23 years ago or whatever, I was like, wow, this was like, they give me a legitimate crystal from the center of the earth, you know? McDonald's. But, I mean, I do remember when they gave, I was telling Mary about this the other day, and she thought I made it up. I had to prove it to her. That when Burger King back in the day gave the 24-karat, the gold Pokemon like things, do you remember that?
Yeah, of course, dude.
I know, because you're a Pokemon stan, and
I'm 100%. It was like the Mew, the ancient Mew, dude. I had that fucking shit on lock.
I know. I'm just saying, fast food toys used to be cool. Now I get kids' meals for my kids, and they're fucking cardboard. Like, I never get actual plastic. It's so annoying.
Is it just
cardboard?
Like, it's just like a crossword puzzle on a piece of cardboard?
It's a puzzle, or it's something that you like stack together that is just cardboard pieces. I went to Burger King the other day, and I did get a legitimate plastic toy advertising the new Kung Fu Panda movie, and I was like, fuck yeah, plastic. You know, like, for once, I was like,
yeah,
you're goddamn right.
I want a choking hazard in my goddamn kids' meal.
Yeah, don't give me paper. My fucking kid, if anything, they're more likely to eat the paper. You've met my kids.
Yeah, I mean, right. Anyway. Well, because it's saturated in the delicious grease that is that of Burger King.
I know, right?
Yeah, they gotta eat that. So, oh my God! What are we talking about?
So no, this is your first time seeing this. We were watching Atlanta. I saw this back when it released in theaters, and I thought it was cool. But like, so watching it now, I actually do remember it quite a bit. I was kind of surprised at how much I did remember it. In a way, like I remember a lot of the moments and a lot of the characters, but the plot was just as forgettable because you could write it on a napkin like real quick. But, I had a newfound appreciation kind of for certain aspects of it, and then a more criticism for other aspects of it. So,
well, I'm blown away because that's been the harsh criticism I've seen online. There's people being like, oh, it's a, you know, paper thin plot or whatever. It's just like, it's so simplistic that it actually kind of like ruins it. Like there's pretty fun character development, and it's like it's finely paced, and it's animated decently.
Oh no, the pace is the actual problem for me.
Well, yeah, no. I guess that's true. Like it does.
It's not the story that is simple necessarily. It's the way that they jump from plot point to plot point is like has no type of bearing. We got to move on to the next plot point. And I'm like, yeah, no, maybe if you got there, spent 5 minutes and figured out how to get there instead of just being like, whatever. But, you know.
Well, that was what's weird, too, is like, yeah, every time they would cut to a different scene, it would always just be like a silent gag. I was like, there's so many like
there's a lot of silent gags
that get you to the next scene. And I kind of was just like, I'm like, this is like there's too many of them. You know, I don't know. And then they would just like, you know, dump some backstory down on you and you'd be like, okay, here we are. But I don't know. It's wild because they spent a lot of time on this movie and they did like a lot of research and it was a really seasoned crew. It was like the crew that did Lion King and The Hunchback of Notre Dame. That whole team came together. And I feel like I feel like that's what's so weird is like it's so well it's put together so well.
Yeah.
But I can see the glaring plot points, like the glaring plot holes. But it's like for me, I'm gonna remember this fondly. Yeah. Like, and I'm gonna remember this I'm gonna stitch it together in my headcanon and like be like, oh, it flows really well. Even though I do think the pacing is kind of whack because it's like if they just drew, he's like. He opens up and you like meet him and then he gets his mission and it's just, I don't know.
The first
like met so quickly.
Yeah. The setup's not even that bad, but it's just like near the end. It's just like he doesn't get to spend hardly any time with the girl before things turn south and she turns into like a super giga god. And then
right.
It's like,
right.
Like the most egregious kind of thing for me is, which is kind of funny. They played it for laughs, but it's like, near the end when it's like, you obviously know the general's going to be the bad guy. Like, it's very obvious to early on.
Right.
But when he's like, we're going to go, and then finally, and then he punches Milo, and then the other team, the rest of the characters are like, nah. And they're like, he's like, we've killed a ton of people and got this far. You're going to turn on it now? And then the demolitions guy is like, well, no one ever got hurt. Well, some people got hurt, but it was never anyone we knew. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's
like,
oh, okay, I guess now they're flipping sides on a dime just because the protagonist is the one involved.
No, that bummed me out. That was really like,
which is fine.
No one got information. You know, there was no information given.
Anyway,
but before we get too deep into information,
I'm in the sauce, man.
I mean, do you want to?
Yeah, back it up.
Back it up.
Back
here.
It up for the folks that haven't seen this in 22 years.
Yeah, we're going to the beginning of Atlantis. This is when Plato was alive, and this is him. Retelling the story.
Are you retelling the story of Atlantis in real life, or are you retelling the plot synopsis of the movie?
The Lost Emperor. I'm totally down for either way. But this movie definitely got me hyped. But do you want to do a little synopsis? You want me to like kind of give a little brief? It's a very simple plot. That's like the wild thing about
I mean, it's like an Indiana Jones, which is totally fine. That's what I'm saying. It's a very just like call to action, fucking adventure type movie with a wacky cast of characters.
But I think something that's fun that gives it its heart is Milo. Milo is he's a linguistic, a linguist who it's like 1914. And which this is like a fun fact. This is like Disney's like one of the only movies that like has an actual date. it's like set in like a historical time period, and they tried to be like historically accurate, and so that was kind of interesting. But anyhow, I mean, clearly they're not, because it's an animated show about Atlantis. But
yeah,
for the world that we're living in before we get to the center of the Earth and find Atlantis, Milo lives in 1914, and he's pretty tactful. He's smart. He's just kind of like a nerd, and he works for this like his father was a great adventurer. And
his grandfather.
Grandfather. Yeah. His grandfather
was the guy that tried to kill fucking Robin Williams and Jumanji. Like that's
yeah,
his grandfather.
It is 100%. 100%. Yeah, he's dude. I've been reading a lot of Jules Verne right now, and like five weeks in a balloon is the book I'm on right now. And he's totally just one of those characters in there that's just like it's fine. We'll land anywhere we want because we're white men. we'll bring them. You know, we're what they call them, explorers or something.
Yeah, that's right.
But mercenaries. But
yes.
Anyways, Milo is talking to the board that his grandfather used to work with, and they're just like they're British and, you know, whatever, travelers and stuff, and they do that, and they fund expeditions, and Milo's like, I want it. I've been searching for Atlantis. My grandfather talked to me about it. It's a real thing. I'm like, you know, I just need to find a missing key, which is this book. Well, he goes like the board laughs at him, and they're like, oh, you're just kind of a nerd. You know, you're never going to do it.
Atlantis. Kind of like that's crazy. You,
right.
You kook.
Right. They,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. They think he's a kook, and they think like, they're like, it'll never work. But he gets invited to go. I don't quite remember exactly how, but
the femme fatale shows up and is like, she's like, you're Milo from the blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I got a guy you got to meet. You know what I mean? And then he goes and sees this old guy's dick.
She bridges the gap between that, which is so weird. But anyways, he meets Milo's grandfather's old lover, and he's telling him that he's like, I funded an expedition because I loved your grandfather so much and I believed in him. And we already have all the guys ready to go. We've got every stereotype guy, your demolition guy and your mechanic and, you know, your doctor guy.
He literally pulls out a folder with like a dossier of every character. Like,
yeah,
it's like,
of all the,
here they are. And there's, right, here's their character synopsis and backstory. And that's all, like, there it is. Boom.
And this is like house on Haunted Hill style, where it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to fund everything for you, but you have to man the expedition. You have to be the one to do it. It's your adventure now. A, because I'm too old, and B, I'm too love-stricken and heartbroken because your grandfather died, and we were forced to kiss, you know, in quotes.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, so he's just basically like, oh, well, okay, cool. You found the book, because he has the book somehow. But anyways, he gets the book. They go on the adventure, and then the adventure turns into it's amazing. So they get together. There's a crew of like 250 people.
That's
and
the best,
in,
dude.
In,
that's
within
the best
30
part.
Seconds, within 30 seconds, 210 of them
they
are
died.
Ripped to shreds. Or just
I love how much
murder.
Casual, just like background death is in this movie. Like the guys,
so much,
just like
so
getting
much
sucked. In. Like even from the beginning, because it starts with Atlantis getting like attacked.
Oh. Yeah,
9,000 years ago, and then it's like,
yeah,
before,
dude,
the title card.
The body count, the body count's huge in Atlantis. This is,
but the ship,
this is,
the ship getting blown up is so good. There's like guys
like
getting trapped in the stairwell, like drowning.
Oh my god, dude! No, that's the best, when the ship's blowing up, and then like there's a teenager girl, and she's the mechanic, and she slams the door closed, and you see
the
people
guy, yeah,
like
no!
behind it, and like the door closes, and I'm just like, Jesus Christ, like that's brutal, dude. She's ruthless. Like he could have made it, but anyways, so they get attacked by a leviathan, and it's this giant creature.
Yeah, leviathan just, like, again coming,
I know,
back, baby.
I know. Welcome. Yeah, go listen to that episode. But it like it's this crazy thing, and it's kind of cool because like Milo sees it, and he's like, oh my god, this is a robot. It's a machine that's built.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a sea creature. So that's kind of cool, and that kind
of
like,
yeah,
it's like whatever that's called.
It's like a guardian of the fucking Atlantis,
of the entrance.
Which is super dope. Because
yeah,
when they come on the fucking the massive graveyard, and he's like, it's just like so many ships. He's like, there's ships from every era in history, and I'm like,
yeah,
cool.
That,
like,
that's
I wish
so
that,
sick.
I wish there was more of that in the movie.
Well, dude,
though,
it was
so
the
cool.
original. So that's what sucks is this movie originally was like 3.5 hours long, and they started
great,
editing.
Honestly,
they edited and they built and they animated completely full principle animation, a whole scene of Vikings finding Atlantis first. Being like,
dope would that
part,
be?
You know, yeah, being like part of that finding Atlantis before, because it was like before Atlantis was like down where it is now. It was like a little different. They actually just built like a wall around it. Anyways, so it's like they discovered it was cool. They're gonna do that. Anyways, that was all. That's what could have been. But what we got now is they go through the Leviathan. They go down. They lose half their crew, and then they go through this like crevasse and a bottleneck, and then they come up, and it's an air bubble because Milo has the book, and he learned how to read it, and he could like read the Atlantic script. I don't know whatever it was.
He like studies dead languages or whatever. So the Atlantean or whatever the fuck.
Atlantean. They call it. I thought they called it something, but
they they do. I don't remember.
If you're out there screaming at your car right now,
I love your passion. If you're screaming about it, like it was Atlantean, you fuckhead,
or something like that. Yeah, but anyways. They make it there. The book shows them, and then cue montage for like 15 minutes of them just go like on the expedition to find it, and more people are dying, and they're like, I don't know, they're doing funny things, and it kind of demonstrates the technician, you know, the bomb technician's like abilities and the digger guy's abilities, and you're just getting that kind of flavor of who they are. And then you get the titular scene where they're at the campsite and they're all like, what are you going to do with your cut of the share? You know, what are you going to do with your money? And like, you know, a little bit of character building. But then we get to Atlantis, finally. You know, it's easy enough. You know they're going to find it. I don't even think, what is it? There's like, is there another?
There was another crisis where the fucking lantern sent out the crazy firebugs, lit the whole camp on fire.
Right, and that was their.
It like crumbled apart, the next scene. And the bridge like they blew up, and they like fell down the crevasse. And Milo got separated, and the fucking Atlantean scouts like found him or whatever. And then,
they
went out into the fucking. They're like, oh, there it is. And they found Atlantis, and then
right and plot hole. They show up the like the main character or the side characters, whatever the like the supporting characters. They just show up somehow.
They're right there behind him, and so, they're not even like,
yeah.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah.
The worst part about that for me is, and then we'll get back to it, but like they walk out, and that is the first time they're like, whoa, look at all this evidence of Atlantis. And I'm like, you literally had a whole montage of like, you're in the ruins of an ancient civilization for like the last how many days trying to survive. There's like crazy carvings and statues and ancient shit. Like, you should have earlier been on like, holy shit, like this is real. And then but there's like they're just like, nah, this is nothing. And then they're like, oh wait, this is it now. I'm like, yeah, this is the most impressive bit, but
sure, right.
You when were you eased into there it.
And like, and it's beautiful. It's like an island of water with like a volcano, a volcanic moat around
it. The production design was, I mean, even though it's animation, but like the concept art and production design they got there is really dope. Like the,
I mean, this was one of the most expensive Disney films made at the time. Like it was huge. They gave a fuck ton of money to this.
So anyway, they get to Atlantis.
They get to Atlantis, and then the princess in it, you know, of Atlantis, you know, basically there's only two Atlantean characters that exist in this movie.
Correct.
And it's the princess and then the dad, or the king, whatever. And so the king, he's all like old and decrepit and he's about to die. And the woman, I don't even remember her name, whatever. She's
it's like Kida, you know, or something.
Yeah, Kida. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, like, yeah, Kida. Anyways, my God, what are we doing? Get
the,
out of
the
here.
City, the city is dying. They're running out of energy because
oh my gosh.
They have they like a power source, which is like the page missing from the book. And so they're going down there trying to find the power source. And like, and they realize that like that's power in the city and yada, yada, yada.
And the power source is a little bit more than just like physical power. It like, it truly is like connected to all of them. And it's like, it's what's kept them alive. So they're a civilization that has stayed alive due to the healing properties of this crystal, and they're like 8,000 years old. And once the bad guy, the general that was with them, who was like, you know, he was like the head of the crew. He you know, plot spoiler, you know, what a twist. He's a bad guy.
Shocker.
But they do actually give him like at least a little more complexity. Like he is bad, but it's more like he's greedy. He's not. I mean, you know, and he's still like He is bad, but he's got a little more complexity, so that's nice. That's comforting.
He's just a hardcore mercenary. But, like he just is in it for the cash, and he'll do whatever it takes. He's a professional soldier, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he like, I like that he like comments on the hypocrisy of like, you know, what he's like, what I'm doing isn't as bad as like what other people have done and what you're kind of doing yourself. So anyways,
yeah,
he's still a bad guy. But Kidda, whatever, she gets, she's the princess and thus she's going to be, you know, she's chosen to be part of this, part of the power source. And the power source is like lending its power to her so that she's able to like transition or do something. It kind of was, it's really vague and it like doesn't really, the plot is she could get trapped with all this power. But then anyway, she gets the power. She comes down. She does get trapped. They capture her. They take her away. And then there's a big fight scene between the mercenary, you know, the little crew.
They're also in a volcano, you know, and so.
Yeah, they're in a volcano for some reason. There's a big hot air balloon, and then they're just shooting each other with old, you know, fighter pilot jets and stuff like
that. The general punches, like I said earlier, all the other people that were in on it, they finally turn around, and they're like, we're with Milo, and we're the good guys now. Yay! And they come around, the general punches the king to death, and... But then the girl, the femme fatale, I don't even remember her fucking name, and the general basically kill each other. Milo kills him and they set off the fucking volcano, but Atlantis protects itself and she's safe and everyone's happy and the power is restored. And because it's like been refreshed by her and she's the new empress now and everyone else, they send him home with like a buttload of gold. But Milo stays behind with the civilization, and lets it stay hidden. And that's honestly kind of the best bit at the end when they're all super, super fucking rich, and they're like, "We didn't find anything."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're going through and they're like doing a debriefing to be like, "So what'd you find?" And they were like, you know, saying like, "Oh, we found this crazy thing," and they're like, "No, it's not what you found." Uh-huh. So, but, so I mean, it's happily ever after.
Yeah, it's good.
Milo gets to stay in Atlantis and work on his, you know,
it's happily ever after, album, and then, except for the bad guys and then the 210 soldiers.
The
thousands of Atlanteans that weren't royalty.
Yeah, it was happily ever after, except for the hundreds that died. And dude, Helga, give it up for Helga. Did Helga die, though?
Was she the femme fatale, right?
Yeah, she's the femme fatale, dude. I loved her.
She was cool. Yeah, she gets pushed out of the hot air balloon.
She fires.
But then it crashes down on her and she dies in the explosion.
It does crush her. Okay. Yeah. Well, and then her body wasn't shown.
Well, then a volcano exploded on top of her, which maybe she is like imbued with the godlike powers now.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. She died. I'm just, oh man. Rest in peace, Helga.
Oh yeah, no, but, she was cool.
Yeah. But you know, that's it.
So, 25 minutes into the podcast, and we're done with the synopsis.
We're done. Yeah, that's the synopsis. But I feel like we talked about everything before the synopsis. So now
we did. Now it's just
well,
over.
That was cold as soon as all. Thanks for tuning in. Go to our Patreon.
Yeah,
come to Reddit.
Come to Reddit. I don't know. Like this is the thing. It's like this movie. Yeah, sure. The script had pacing issues, and like a lot of it was pretty shallow. But it's like that's not. What, like, this is a movie aimed at kids. It's got a little bit more, like, that was a good area. The 2000, like, right at the turn of the century, we got, like, slightly more gritty mainstream kids movies. Like, kids movies that were made for, like, instead of made for, like, 5-year-olds, they were made for, like, 10-year-olds. Titan A.E. and this and, like, Treasure Planet. They were, like, more adventurous, more swashbuckling style adventures where it's just like that's what it's about and there's like death and there's stakes, which it's like other than what Up was like the last I haven't been super up to date, but Up had like that kind of feeling where it was like swashbuckling and kind of a little bit threatening, but I don't know, like it was dope and like that's what I'm saying. It's like every complaint I had about this movie, at least structurally from like a script point of view, is it's like it's a fucking kids Disney movie. Like, what am I? I'm not gonna like. You gotta.
Yeah,
you can't judge everything the same. Like, I can shit.
No, right.
I can shit on a fucking. You know, I can be more critical of a fucking Tarantino movie and the nuances of his screenplay and his character development. But it's like when it comes, I can't hold them to the same fucking standard fucking Atlantis, the Lost Kingdom, and be like, well, Mole's backstory actually doesn't really get into his, you know, like, who gives a fuck? Mole's meant to sell toys and be funny.
It's 1914 France, and Mole should actually probably be part of the, you know, probably a Nazi sympathizer, and like, he's getting just started in that. It's like World War One just is gonna get kicked off, and like, I don't know, yeah. And like, I think that this film does exactly what it's supposed to do, and it tickled me and my Jules Verne adventuring spirit.
Yeah.
Like I've been really into that, like, turn of the century exploring, and, you know, I mean, it's wrought with like the isms, and it's, you know, that's, I kind of like, I think there's like something endearing about it though. It's kind of fun to have adventurer, but
yeah. Oh yeah. No, just, that's what I'm saying. It's like very Indiana Jones. It's just a classic expedition. Like, there's tons of perils, like the fucking awesome fight with the Leviathan, and then the fight at the end, and like the fireflies, like, it was all cool. And there was just like, when we got to the back half and the world building and the character relationships, they kind of were just like rushed to that, like, oh, he's a guy and she's a girl and they like each other.
I know,
so
right?
So now he cares, like, and she's a god now, yeah, apparently. And so it just kind of,
how'd she survive? That bothered me so bad when the dad was like, she's going to be stuck in there for too long. But then, like, she comes and she, like, stops it. And then there was no, like, ceremony. There was nothing to, like, reverse it. There was nothing to reverse it. It just kind of was like, well, the day was saved, so she gets to come out of the ball now. Like,
yeah.
She gets to come out of the power source.
But then why didn't her mom?
But the power source still exists.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, why didn't her mom exactly? Yeah. So I'm like, what? That, like, it's so funny because I'm like, if for such a, like, thought out, like, watching, I watched like a making of documentary, and it's like watching that and what they, like, how they talked about creating this story, I was like it's weird that would be such a simple glaring plot hole, but it doesn't really matter.
And well, maybe, you know, but because of like the development, because I know that this, I don't know much about the development, but I know this was like a passion project for some people, but it's like, I can see that this doesn't feel like an underbaked script. It feels like it was a more fleshed out script until studios were like, this is great, but this is a kid's movie. It needs to be 90 minutes. Like, this is great, but this is a kid's movie. Nobody cares about all this world building. Like, this is great, but this is a kid's movie. We don't need to have all these fucking relationship character development shit. Like, this is, we want to sell toys. We want meat in the seats. We want that. And it does kind of stink of like that studio involvement feels like that's the reason with this. It doesn't feel like, I don't feel like, because yeah, they put so much work into like the actual history and the, like, in that shows when he's actually talking about stuff, and it's smart when it's like, oh, Leviathan from the Bible and blah, 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 and how that relates to the Atlanteans. Like, they obviously thought about it. So it's like, why would they just rush it at the end? Unless they just like, oh, we just have to hurry and finish the script. Let's just breeze over it so people won't notice that there is only two Atlantis characters, right? Like you said. So it does feel like kind of like it was cut for time or something, or cut for, because it was like to hit the demographic. They're like, this is a little bit too mature. Let's make this mole guy a little bit sillier. Like, it feels like notes, like studio notes, executive notes. Like, they're like, this is great, but like, what if he just was obsessed with dirt, and then this guy was had like bomb quips all the time, and that's their character, you know? Like,
right. Yeah, they kind of sacrificed two-dimensional characters, but I think it's also,
it's fine.
It's hard because we have like 23 years since this movie came out to be like, you know, kids' animation can have a lot more depth, and Pixar really did like change the way that, like,
they did kind of change it. This was like right created at the beginning of the Pixar rise, you know what I mean? This was like one of the last big 2D movies that I can even think of.
Exactly. No, and this is like one of the last big 2D movies that like Disney did. You know?
They did,
it's like
this,
next to,
and then they did like Princess and the Frog, like a few years later. And then
that's a callback. Princess and the Frog Princess and the Frog was because they deviated so far from
go back to, like, what we did, and then it did like fine. And so they're like, no, fuck that shit. It's expensive and no one cares anymore. Let's just stick with
it. And is that, correct me if I'm wrong, see, I'm just not very versed in Disney, you know, surprisingly, but it's like, was Princess and the Frog kind of one of the last, what's like the latest iteration of like a true Disney princess? Because it's like, I know you can,
Frozen,
I wonder. Oh, duh. Yeah. Frozen's,
I mean,
yeah,
but
Frozen's,
but it is. It does feel like a new generation of it, though, because it's like,
right.
Princess. We're not even talking about Aladdin anymore. But it's like the history of Disney.
Whatever.
Right?
We're in the Disney. I mean, we're in the Disney property. The this Pantheon. Is like this is pretty much part of the canon.
Well, it's like it's like it does. They went back to like kind of like their roots with like, oh, we want to have like this other kind of princess, and we're gonna go back to the 2D roots. Even though this was like still like 2008 or Princess Prague was like 2008 or something like that. Something around then. And, but yeah, the last, I feel like, cause Frozen, I've seen Frozen unfortunately like hundreds of times. It feels like.
I saw it a couple times with the kids and like it, dude, it's all right. It's solid. It's fine. Yeah.
I just hate musical numbers too much.
Me too. And know? That's what I loved about this. Treasure Planet didn't have any music.
Not, you mean Atlantis, which I get
Atlantis.
The confusion.
Oh my God. Dude, but, no, I literally thought this was Treasure Planet the whole time. Like, every time we were like, we're going to watch this, I'm like, didn't we watch Treasure Planet already? And then I'm like, oh, we have watched Treasure Planet. And I'm like, okay, Atlantis. It's so weird that Disney would create two movies that are just so similar like a year later.
Yeah, really, though. But it's like, no, you're right. There's no, and that's why this did feel kind of like a breath of fresh air, because it was like kind of for like a little bit older demographic, you know, 8 to 12-year-olds or something. Yeah, is what it feels like. It does like some of the comedy. It does feel again like some of the comedy and stuff feels like meddling to be like, we want to get the younger audience also. So it's tonally kind of weird sometimes, but it's like, there's no musical numbers. There's no anamorphic animal that follows along as a sidekick or like some weird Atlantean fucking dog.
They tried. They did. They
I'm
did
not
originally
surprised at all. That there was like a little like bark, bark, like rock dog.
I'm trying to remember what the creature was. Oh my God, I can't even remember. Anyways, but I'll post the making of on Reddit, and you guys can go and watch it. But it's like they were like because it's like that's the Disney brand, you know, give them a little sidekick,
always,
an animal sidekick.
There's and always so, something. Yeah. There's always something like Frozen is the fucking Olaf the Snowman, which I can't stand. Uh-huh. But it's just
I hate Olaf so much. Burn
him to a puddle.
Olaf the minions. Anyways,
it's always something. And so that was refreshing that it's just like they did kind of just stick to like, just telling this adventure story. You know what I mean? Like, and the animation was beautiful. Like, to me,
the animation
was the best part. So really dynamic.
I loved it because I saw Mike Mignola's name in there. And I was like, that's so weird that he was like heavily involved.
Ooh.
But Mike Mignola did Hellboy. He's the artist of Hellboy. And it's like, it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool because like I noticed it a little bit, but I was like, oh, it gives me the vibes. I was getting hardcore because of similar time period. Like the 30s is 101 Dalmatians. That was like that's like the style. Like I swear to God, like the dad from 101 Dalmatians is Milo. Just they used his animation. They just reused
everything's
it.
Everything's very, I like how square every angular this is compared to
but
like
that's
soft.
Super Hellboy. Yeah. Like, and the color, it was, that's how come you liked the, I think, right. You commented on like liking the lighting dynamic and like,
yeah, I thought like for a 2D beautiful. Animated film, it had a lot of lighting depth.
Well, and I think it's because
like lots of shadows. Like they didn't like 2D animated movies, especially Disney. Like they don't, like, unless it's, like, a specific scene, it doesn't have that kind of shadows of depth.
Right.
But, like, the interiors
they feel
had,
flat,
like,
but
it had, like, almost, like, a noir vibe for a lot of the early parts.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. I mean, especially when, like,
Helga. That's why I kept calling her a femme fatale, yeah.
Yeah, because, no, and that's 100% what she's based off of, obviously. But dude, it's wild because they did that mixture of CG and 2D.
And so, like, this whole, aged pretty well. Like,
yeah.
The 2D, because the 3D stuff, it's, like, I noticed it when it was there. But it was well integrated. Like, it reminded me of, like, early Futurama when it's, like, they would only use it for, like, some parts with, like, the ship that just kind of makes sense to spin things around. Like, I don't know why. That's, like, I'm like, yeah, that kind of works. But it's, like, film level instead of, like, just a TV level. So, like, Futurama's a little more obvious.
Well, I have to say this real quick. For us just to see the stark comparison to what a high budget, really, really like heavily produced, you know, though it is flawed, it's beautiful. And it's like, I would rather watch this Atlantis Lost Emperor 100 times than having to watch the sequel Atlantis Milo's Return or something like that. It's like,
I saw the poster for that. I remember the straight to DVD and I was like,
yeah, straight.
Dude, no. I watched like, you know, whatever 5 minutes of it or whatever is on the, you know, there was a trailer for that and then like a vignette, a 5 minute vignette. It is Saturday morning cartoon style.
Brutal.
You to see the like the start. If you had them side by side,
soulless cash in.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's or not even. I mean, I think. Yeah, I mean, I think
Michael J. Fox reprise his role. I doubt it.
No, definitely not. No, it was a. It's a different. I'm trying to remember because there was a voice actor that worked with Michael J. Fox that helped do some of the voice acting. Also, yeah,
makes
so,
sense. Well, let's take
but,
a moment too.
Anyways,
but, the voiceover in this was really good. I like. I gotta.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what it is. I feel like I got a soft spot for Michael J. Fox, and like, I wish he would have done more. Voiceover work, cause it, yeah. Like he's just the perfect like bumbling frontman, and always has been. Like he's the perfect like Back to the Future Frighteners. Like he's always just like the kind of the perfect like just kind of bumbling over himself frontman. Like he's got the best, most natural like stammers in his voice. And I mean, maybe that's the something to do with something else, but like he's got,
sure, no,
he's got the,
I don't
something about
I don't
his charm and his, he's got the energy that right. even carries over that like, for the first 10 minutes, I was like, oh yeah, Michael J. Fox. But then after that, I was like, no, it's just Milo. Like I'm into
yeah,
it. I'm into the character.
Well, he's very disarming. That's
yes.
his like, that's exactly what I,
yeah,
that's
good,
I get
that's
from
a good
him
word
in,
for
in,
it, for sure.
And all of his performances, it's very disarming. And you love him. And you root for him, and like you don't feel sorry for him, which is nice. Like he, you know, he just gives like and like Michael J. Fox, I think would be, he's kind of one of those people that like I feel like he's just I love his voice, but I don't think he's like the greatest voice actor.
No, that's
but,
no, that's like, true because he is
but,
just
know,
sounds like himself.
He,
like
right, sounds like
he's
himself,
not like doing
but
a voice.
I like,
but
I like his voice though. I like who he is. So it's like
well,
and,
he delivers
and, like,
the lines like very you know very committed like in the scene like you. He's got,
oh,
he
totally.
Brings an energy to it. Like, he's definitely not phoning it in. Same with the rest of the cast. Like, everyone is doing great. Even the general who is, like, pretty much, the you know, he's the bad guy because he never opens his eye. The top of his eyes are always just flat. And,
yeah,
you
right.
know, he's just
yeah.
like, oh, yeah, so.
And
I know, not that
his mouth, it's sharp features, dude. Yeah, that's he's got like, the sharp features in his mouth.
Not that I care, but, like, where's this giant crystal or whatever?
Yeah,
right, but then when he goes, right, when he goes like full psycho at the end, and he's got the fucking giant axe and everything, he's terrifying, and he's just like
yeah.
full to the max. It's great.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think the bomb technician guy,
he's the best,
is
obviously,
Molaire or whatever. He the voice actor for him basically improvised like 100%.
Oh, really?
Lines.
It's it
like
felt like
was,
he was there
yeah.
then because he was literally like,
yeah.
It cut to him and he's like, well, we don't have a big explosion, but set this off right now. And he's like fixing a bomb and he's like, yeah, maybe not the best time to do this.
Yeah, like, yeah, right. Maybe not the best time to work on this. Yeah. But I love like the classic, like when he's like, when they sit there and he's like, it took him like 1,000 years to build this, you know, to carve this out of stone. And he's like, look, I made a bridge in what, 10, 20 seconds tops?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, he's cute. He's a cut up.
He is. It's fun. That's a, that's like, that's why I'm like, he
has it's like
just
super
enough.
Tropey, but I liked them.
That's okay,
I liked their
though.
Tropes,
like, it's
right?
okay
yeah,
to have
right.
character tropes in certain movies. Like, this is an ensemble movie. They have right. just enough, like, literally, their characters can be pumped. Put down to like less than a paragraph. It's like, he's a guy that loves bombs, but he was from a flower shop, so he's got this soft side.
Right,
and like,
right,
she's a mechanic,
right.
but like, her dad always wanted her to be a guy, so she's tough.
Yeah.
You know
right.
what I mean?
She
like,
gets,
everyone
yeah,
has
a
they're this, yeah. but this. And like, mm-hmm. that's okay for like an action movie, an adventure movie. Like, it doesn't need to necessarily be super intense. It's just like, I wish there was more. I wish this movie was like 30 minutes longer. That pad out the Atlantis stuff,
yeah,
and to like
dude,
help
totally
the transitions because it does, like that's my biggest
qualm. Or even, or not even 30 minutes longer, but that like that the adventure montage could have been just a montage. Could have been three scenes, you know, whatever. Like three, just like it's like I got that they were traveling. Like there were so many repeat gags that kept happening
yeah.
where like. Peril was popping out at them and they're like, oh, whoa. But like, there's no dialogue. There's no stakes to it. It's just kind of like a gag. And you're like, okay, here you go. Cool.
And it does feel like, it does feel like, okay, let's just cut it and get to Atlantis. But then you're watching it and you're like, No, that's too fast. Put a montage. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it feels right. jarring, you know, that they're just right. there. They come up and they're there. And so I don't know. Like, I feel like there's a lot of bending over creatively in some instances.
I busted a gut, though. When all those men died and like they put the candle in the helmet, they put the candle in the helmet, and then he goes, "We lost a lot of men there," like or something. I can't remember. He's like, "But this is what's left, and we're gonna keep going on." Like I don't know. It just was so like I'm like there were a lot of this is the most people who have ever died in a Disney movie. Like it's a lot of people died.
I know, and pretty brutally, you know. Like.
Yeah, and so unceremoniously, like even though there clearly there's a like slight ceremony.
Well, that's what's great. Like later, he's like, "No, at least nobody ever got hurt in the past." He's like, "Well, people have been hurt, but it was never like anyone we knew. Like there's always a nameless soldier, like
a nameless 200 soldiers that were on our crew."
Everything is expendable until you punch Milo, the fucking lovable nerd with the Michael J. Fox charisma.
I know exactly. Well, no, that's I didn't even. And until they put a fucking actual number on it, I thought like the adventure they were going on, it only needed 30 people, except for the giant submersible that they built. That takes
they immediately 200 people. They immediately destroyed.
I know, which broke my heart because that was my favorite ship.
I remember that toy too. I remember that fucking toy. They had a toy, I bet, that's a submarine.
That's a beautiful. I love the design of that ship.
In my mind, I remember somebody had that toy. And like their toy box growing up and like it was kind of smaller, but I was like, so in my mind, that is the one thing I didn't really remember. I thought it was a bigger part of the movie, but it's like, they like display the submarine. Yeah. They're like, we're going in. They display it. And it's like, like some John Williams shit. And then they launch it. And then they immediately get destroyed by the Leviathan like 5 minutes later.
I know.
And it's like, that's too bad.
I know. I was heartbroken, dude.
At least they got the fucking giant drill, though.
Yeah, I mean the drill is cool too. I like that. I wish I liked Dig more. Dig's Mole. I mean, it's funny. Mole, whatever. They made him the character that was just like you don't want to know about him.
And he's the fucking one that doesn't really talk. Like he does, but he's just like squirrely and weird. But he's the Olaf. You know what I mean? Like, he's the dumb, squeaky little, like, because I remember a toy of him, too. That's the thing. This movie tried to sell like, toys, man.
He's the like, womanizer creep guy, too. He's that one that's all, like, that's just, like, I don't know, the French. They're just always, like, let me honk your boobs.
Yeah,
like,
what is it with you? The French. First, he's a Nazi sympathizer. Now he's a fucking, just, like, a rapist or something? Like, you don't want to know his backstory.
Yeah. That's why, yes, he's French.
Which is kind of the best part is sweet. The doctor is just like, you told me, I wish you didn't tell me.
No, that legitimately was a line that made me laugh. Like, not ironically.
The
not
delivery
like,
was
I fully,
good. Yeah.
I fully was like, that was good.
You know,
that was,
you
that
know
was funny
I
as
liked
hell.
Is that I was really happy to see, this is another thing to the adult charms of this movie slightly, is the dispatch woman that's like, I love to see cigarettes in a Disney cartoon.
She's the last one.
Yeah.
She's the last character that smokes a cigarette in
makes sense,
a Disney cartoon.
Now they'll give you like an R rating or something. So
I know.
That's
I
the
know,
most,
right?
Fuck those 200 sailors. There's a cigarette in this movie. So
I know. Like, yeah, all the point blank death, but her smoking that
Kita
cigarette
can
buddy.
Slip a nipple. But anyway, but she was a fun side character too, but Cookie Man, when he's like, they only need the four food groups, like bacon, beans, whiskey, and lard.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
He's good.
I don't like Ernest though, so I don't fuck him.
Oh, was that him?
Yeah, that's Ernest goes to camp.
Was it? I didn't look up.
What's his name? Vern or something?
Yeah, something like that. I always forget it. But I don't know, man. Like. That's fun. I don't know. My daughter, she liked it. Like she was invested. She likes things that are like a little bit more intense. You know what I mean? So it's just like from the get go, because it literally opens with like, it's like a scenic shot of the ocean. And then it's like a nuke blast, you know?
And
immediately Emmeline's like, what's happening? And I'm like, they're getting attacked. Like, she's like, oh my God.
It could happen to any of us
at any moment. Get under your desk. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like, it's unfortunate because it's like, I do feel like if it would have had that emotional weight, like something more to connect to whether it be their relationship fleshed out, something there. Because there are stakes, but you don't feel that. If it had that weight, like you said, like Pixar came in later and showed that there could be like more of this like emotional connection. You can have like an intense plot, but also have it be kind of more, you know, fleshed out character-wise and themes-wise. But this movie is just kind of fun, which makes it unfortunately kind of shallow. Like, it's a good watch.
Yeah.
But it is just like forgettable. Like, it doesn't really have nothing of note. No. Like, the animation is really good, in my opinion. And it's a lot of fun, and the characters are fun, but there's nothing there that like resonates with me that makes me want to rewatch it again, other than some of the jokes. Like, some of the jokes are good. Some of them are really stupid, but some of them are
good. That's the bum. Yeah, like Mole really was like the glaring blind spot for me. I really did not like Mole.
It's just so many. Every time I tried to be slapstick, like every joke that was like written or in dialogue was pretty funny because it was in line with the characters and it like furthered it. And like, yeah, the bomb technician guy was the best, but every slapstick, like he puts on the big helmet, it's like, like he's like a baby again and all this. Like.
But like the one I really liked is when they're right when they first get into the tunnel and they're on dry land and then they're traveling through and then like they go and there's like a giant bug that comes or a giant monster that comes out. And then he looks at the book and they're like scolding him and he's like, you know, he does that like like pulls his collar and points to the other direction. That's cute and endearing. And then they did that like three more times after the exact same gag. And I was like, okay, yeah, I get it. Like they're traveling.
You know, what other movie came out a couple years before this that also reminded me of a slightly. I was DreamWorks though, not Disney, but like a slightly edgier 2D animated movie that had a lot of jokes. It had the same swashbuckling adventure vibe. Road to El Dorado. I was thinking about Road to El Dorado, but like that movie had the character dynamics of the main two leads that made it so memorable.
You strip it down too. That's,
you do,
yeah.
But like the montage, because they have the similar montage. I was thinking they get to the island and they're like, on the road to El Dorado or whatever. And they're like chopping through the vines and trying to find their way to El Dorado. And it's like, there's a couple gags there, but it's just, yeah, it's just so much more effective. And it really does help the pacing in a way that's just, I don't know. Like that.
I mean, it's good.
That's
that,
a great movie.
You know. No,
that,
I know. Yeah.
That does have its issues in the back half though. Honestly, still, I feel like it's, that's always kind of a problem. It's like, it's always a good lead up, pretty fun second act. But then it's just like, when it comes time to kind of like, make everything come together. It's always like a bit, you know, but you know, you got murderous conquistadors in that movie. So that's cool.
I know. That's super fun.
Oh, we should watch that movie.
I mean, let's figure out a way to get in, man. Let's put it on the poll. Let's put it on a poll.
It could have been, I mean, they get lost at sea. We need I've used the word swashbuckling a couple times, which would be fun, but that doesn't have to be classic adventures. Like swashbuckling feels so like pirate specific, but like, yeah, something that's just like classic old school adventures, like like Indiana Jones style, which you've never even seen. So, but it's just like that's always.
I know that's my don't
that's
tell
your
anyone
that's
on the podcast.
Your one of your buckets of shame. Don't, I remember
that,
now.
That is that is one of my blind spots. But I don't know which one to watch because nobody can agree on what's
that's it.
The
just
best
Raiders.
One.
Yeah, everyone can agree. It's Raiders. That's it.
All right.
The rest of them are.
Let's see.
Are
Everybody on Reddit, is Raiders the titular?
Go comment if you like another one. If you like Temple Doom or Last Crusade or any of those more than Raiders, that's fine. But like, you're wrong. Like Raiders is the best. It's the rest one and it's the first.
I saw Crystal Skull and that's the best one to me. So
yeah, the Dial of Destiny.
Yeah.
I just saw that come on Disney Plus, bro. Which I obviously have 5 subscriptions to. If you're watching the YouTube, you can see my Disney t-shirt. Just kidding, I'm wearing a I'm wearing a Thing t-shirt.
Oh,
which
shucks.
I wonder if you know I like the Thing. I got like 3 Thing posters.
Thing should definitely be a Disney one. Go listen to the Thing podcast. God, we like the Thing.
Mary is making fun of us that we like everything edgier, and you're like, we're like, yeah, so we like this cartoon. We wish it was more edgy, like the Thing.
The Thing. Yeah. No, I do. I will remember this because I'm kind of in this like in this headspace right now of this kind of adventurer, and I will remember this movie. I will stitch together and I will enjoy it. Yeah. It, like, but it will be Treasure Planet. I will not. I'll be like, have you seen this before? Like, I think I have.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, oh yeah, that's right.
Treasure Planet's got the same issues, man. It has such a good setup.
I couldn't tell you.
It just doesn't land it.
I don't remember a single thing about the plot of Treasure Planet except for
it's Gilligan's. It's Gilligan's Island.
This is yeah. Oh right. Wait, what?
It's no,
not Gilligan's Island.
Treasure Island.
It's the
that's what I mean.
Treasure Island. Treasure Island. Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, duh, yeah, it's Treasure Island. So it's just yeah, space pirates, but. You know.
Anyway,
I don't know. Let's get a Reddit in here, and I can tell these fine folks a fun little.
Text my wife back. Go ahead.
I got two fun facts real quick. Well, one's gonna be the money minute, and that's that's fun too. But it's cool. The language. See, I just wrote the language. I don't know what it's called. It's called something. But the Atlantean language was created by Mark Okrand. And he was the same linguistic characteristic creator dude that's worked in films. And he created freaking Klingon and the Vulcan languages from Star Trek.
Oh, cool.
So, like, that's super fun.
Well, you could tell they knew their stuff about the languages because he was talking like...
I wish that was more of it.
He had
that was
a whole spiel, a quick spiel about like, oh, it's like this with like a little bit of Latin a hint of Portuguese and like...
When they first meet them, and then there's that big... I mean, that was one thing about this, is the fucking... The cast was so diverse, and it was beautiful. Like, I loved when they get there, and everyone gets excited because the Atlanteans, they fucking know every language ever because they're elven, They're, they're 8,000 years old.
Yeah.
So they've, learned these languages, but then there are blind spots where it's, they haven't learned certain other things because, like, what the fuck?
They're 8,000 years old, and they still kind of age, and I was like... So
yeah, I know that confused me.
She aged, she is 8,000 years old, and then now she's
aged 12 years.
She's old enough to be fuckable, I guess now.
Know, right?
That's what it is. It's she's got boobs that 13-year-old boys can be like, yeah, she's kind of hot,
I legitimately was I sat there the whole time being I was like, weird. Oh, is she the child from the beginning? Because that's what I thought.
She's got the same tats.
And yeah. And
as the child from the beginning.
She's 8,000 years old. So they're aging crystals.
But she's also dumb as fuck and can't figure out how to turn the fucking thing in the. I don't know. You'd think she'd be super wise, but.
The fact, it's weird how the technology they've lost. And I wish that
which was interesting. I wish they would go into how they lost their language.
I just wish it was
written language.
The king. The king needed to be more fucking, he needed to be a bigger part of it, and he needed to be I'm hiding all the secrets because I don't want them to learn how to go back to the surface because I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not his thing. He was just I'm a dumb blind dude
that
doesn't know anything.
Because that would be interesting.
yeah, right. And that was such a bummer where I wish it was more of a conspiracy that he didn't want them going back to the surface. It's he was scared of the surface, a scared little, wimp.
Rightfully.
I wanted him
little wimp. I mean, he gets punched in the gut once and dies
he
from
gets
internal bleeding.
Punched to death. He does get punched to death. So that's pretty wimpy.
That's another death. Another sweet Disney death.
Yeah, I love it.
Man, it is more the thing than I can ever imagine.
I know. Yeah, dude. There were creatures in this, but anyways, the box office is hilarious on this because this is considered a flop and it grossed $60 million over its budget. So,
what
still
was the budget?
Still considered a flop. The budget was 120 mil to make this.
That is a lot for an animated movie.
Which is hefty, dude. That's hefty.
That's chunky,
And then it made 186 million.
Yeah. I mean,
so it's I don't know. That to me, I'm that's mind-blowing, but I will say they're coming off this crew together, the guys who did this what are their names? Vice and we should give them credit where credit's due, but it's Gary Trousdale and then Kirk Weiss. They're
from Lion King, right?
Lion King, and then Hunchback of Notre Dame. Hunchback of Notre Dame that cost them $100 million to make, and it grossed $350 million.
Really?
So
I feel like I need to see Hunchback of Notre Dame again because to me that was even more forgettable.
Yeah, bonkers, right? I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen Hunchback since I was a child.
Literally, the only reason I can remember Hunchback is to make fun of my cousins. You know what I mean? Call him a fucking Quasimodo and shit.
Well, sure, right. Quasimodo, I know the name, but not from Disney. So, I don't know, Yeah. But
That's a hefty budget, so I get it. But, like, you know, this is one of those movies you got to think. Think about what I've been saying about my memories of this. I did see it, but I have way more memories of the merchandising. Like, they must have spent so much,
right?
Like, trying to recuperate those hundreds of millions of dollars with fucking toys, dude. Because I do remember, so many toys of this movie when it came out. And it was like, you knew the toy more than you knew the movie at that point. And like, yeah, everyone, like, it came on VHS, but it wasn't like, I don't ever remember it being like a smash hit. Like, everyone was like, dude, no. Atlantis, you know, the 10-year-olds on the playground were like, fucking Atlantis changed my life, bro. Obviously, no one was like that, but
did
like,
you see that sweet fish puss, dude? I loved Atlantis.
Dude, you see that dumb 8,000-year-old hot tush?
Yeah, dude. That was hot granny, dude. That's what I'm searching online.
Anyway. All right, man. remember as a child, as a young boy, being like, how does she keep that on to keep her boobs covered? It's got like a weird.
Oh, I know.
The toy, too. The toy looked like it made no geometry sense because I had a toy of her. I saw a toy of her, too. There's so many toys. Jesus Christ. All right. Anyway.
I know. You love your toys.
Clones of People 2 says, first watch of this, and it was a bit weak. It felt as if it couldn't decide who the Target audience was. The tone and the characters and themes seemed as if it was going for a teen audience, but the simplicity of the plot, logic, and rushed pace seemed like it was for a younger audience. For instance, Helga's introduction reminded me of Jessica Rabbit, and from then on, she was in the wrong movie. Then the fish bike things, 8,500 years, and nobody could figure it out that you need to turn the crystal? Come on. however, I liked the animation. The CGI elements looked good, and it was well chosen what would be CGI and what would be hand-drawn, and it has aged well in that regard. Overall, it's a letdown. Could have had potential if they leaned heavier into the more mature elements. Also, my kids aged 8 and 5 lost interest after 15 minutes.
that's why I wanted to know about your kid, and if they, you know, like, they were down for it.
She was sort of invested, but like, we do have a ritual, and I'm glad she's getting old enough because my kid's 4. And she's getting old enough where it's like she likes movie nights, and we pop popcorn, and we turn off the lights, and we sit on the couch, and we eat popcorn, and we watch the movie. So she gets kind of invested in that, and it's like I said, she's into it when it's intense. You know what I mean? She loves horror movies.
Nice.
And so it's just like every time she's like, oh, she died. And I'm like, well, probably not. And then she's like, 210 sailors died. And I'm like, holy shit, really?
she's like, hell yeah. Yeah.
Kill the sailors.
She's like Terrifier 3. She's gonna be in line, dude.
She might. Anyway, she's been begging me to watch like a horror movie lately. So
yeah.
Anyway, another opponent says, I recently watched this and thought the movie was just fine. I loved the art style, but had no lasting impact on me. It was a bit more mature than some Disney films, but felt a bit rushed in the middle and the end. I did like the characters, but they felt like they could have cut down some of the side characters and had a lot more interaction between all of them and the antagonist rather than just giving us a bit of exposition and that's it. Literally, my whole problem.
No. I really like, there was, you know, get rid of Mole. Please, God.
He's
I'm gonna
fine.
Make my
he sells
edit.
Toys. I remember.
I hate it. He sold toys because he has those dumbass, like, he has the goggles, and people are like, ooh, his goggles are fun. But his goggles didn't make any sense. His eyeballs stayed in his goggles. I fucking hated Mole. Mole's the worst.
He goes on to say, I felt the same way with Treasure Planet, where it feels like we set out on a grand adventure, but all the adventuring and bonding of the characters feels like it takes place over the span of 15, 20 minutes. Yep. Amazing visuals.
We did watch Treasure Planet. This is Treasure Planet.
He watched it with us.
That's what we watched for this podcast. Right. Welcome to Treasure Planet.
We were talking about Treasure Planet the whole time and we just didn't know it.
Yeah.
Amazing visuals though. I wouldn't mind seeing a series like this instead of a condensed movie. Yeah. Because that's the thing. It's like
it had a series greenlit and they were working on production of making an actual really good series, not just like a Saturday morning cartoon style, and then this quote unquote flopped, and like it got scratched, and then so if you watch the sequel, a lot of the series is in the sequel, and so I'm kind of curious to watch it now, but like
that makes sense,
I'm
but
sure
it's like
I don't know,
I don't want a series of Milo living in Atlantis after the calamity. I want a series of the journey to Atlantis, and it's like if you're gonna show a lot of the shit in Atlantis, then I want to see more about their culture. I want there to be more than two characters with speaking roles. Because literally every time you see an Atlantean, they're just in the background like fishing or something.
Dude, not, oh my God. That, it, no, it really was like, so until we started deserted. Talking about it,
yeah.
I kind of forgot that like there was only two talking characters. Did another Atlantean fucking and speak
even,
in this
But
movie?
Even the characters that did talk, it's like Keita was just like there for like, I mean, sex appeal? Like, I don't know. She was kind of...
I don't know. Well, I liked her. I liked her curiosity, and like she's a fine character, but it just sucked.
The dad was dumb, like you said.
They gave her nothing. Like, I wish that it was like, it was just so simple being like, you know, father's scared and she has to like
literally
live in there.
You just have to have that scene where the guy, the protagonist sees the girl and is like, turns into an idiot because she's hot. And then that's all you need to know. Like, oh, he likes her now. Now there's a chemistry. That's like, forget character development and like relationship development. There's a chemistry now. That's fine because we're trying to sell toys to 7-year-old kids at McDonald's. That's all they need. You know what I mean? And then fucking 12-year-old boys can whack off to the toy of her. Like, that's all there is. I didn't do that.
I
didn't do that. You can't prove that.
Yeah. Can't prove that I'm still doing
you
that.
You can't prove
day.
I got a toy of her. All
right. God, I'm watching a trailer right now for Atlantis, and it's death. The trailer just has them dying in it. There's like 8 people. A guy is burning alive in a truck right now. I am watching. No, I am dead fucking serious. There is a guy right now when they're crossing
just
the bridge.
Long shot. And he's like, oh,
he really is. There is pure agony and fear inside of his eyes, dude.
That's
and
the good like, animation. They could really
dude,
capture that
is,
his soul leaving his body for a TV animated character. That's
they did, and you're like, he's burning, like his clothes are on fire, like the fireflies have burnt his truck, and then it explodes. Like it's
so
like,
good. The action, because that's the thing. Like I will
the action
remember,
was beautiful.
The actions are great. The fucking climax with like the little biplane, like they're on their little the Atlantean little things.
Oh,
and
the
fucking plane.
And the like. All the explosions are beautiful and rich, and then the electric stuff coming out of the Leviathan was sick, dude.
Oh,
his like
cool.
plasma cannons,
yeah.
And I was pissed there wasn't more plasma cannon. I know they figured out a little bit with like the flyers, but I just like I wish it was like that plasma cannon. Like
there's
I wish
like
the
such
Atlantis
an advanced
was like, oh,
technology.
We have weapons now. Like, oh, we got weapons, bitch. Boom! And they start blasting with their lasers.
I
oh
know.
Man,
I don't know how cool that'd been.
So much lost potential with the.
It's true. Well, and it's like he cuts like kill him with the giant laser or knock him to his death because that's always fun. But he cuts the general, which is still cool. But he cuts him with the glass, which somehow turns him into like
and
a crystal monster that then gets blown into pieces in a propeller. Which don't get me wrong, is pretty cool, but makes no fucking sense.
Well, yeah. What they're
like?
What?
What
they're,
why? What is she? Why is the glass do that? Is she?
They're insinuating. They're like insinuating that like a little bit of her superpower residual dew on the glass got into his bloodstream and then turned him into this weird demigod. But his body couldn't handle it, so he died. But yet he was still conscious enough because he has pure greed inside of him that he gets to work. That was like that's probably the writer's room, and they're like, yeah man, that's fucking good. But then like but then when you watch it, it's 32 seconds of him going ah, and then exploding, and you're like, well, okay,
he's like cool. I don't get mad easily, but I do hate you. I got an axe.
Yeah,
here's Johnny. All right, let's anyway, this movie
we loved it.
Flawed from like you know, foundation. That's why I always say it, the script doesn't have to, you don't have to have these super nuanced scripts. You just have to have a good, solid script and pacing. And like, that is all part of it. Even if it's simple, a script can be simple, but you have to have a good foundation to build on top of it. Because all the comments on the Reddit all agree, this movie would be pretty dope if it was consistent in the script and the pacing, because everything about the production and the final product is fucking dope. Like I always say Prometheus, fucking, we will always hate Prometheus because we were so hyped to see it. But it's like everything about like the acting, the cinematography, the fucking the set design, like everything was so cool. But the script was so fucking garbage that it ruined the whole movie. And so it's just like you gotta have a strong foundation.
Really. Prometheus, I remember that was a silent car ride home.
We were in the car and just being like, coming down from being kind of drunk and like
just like all right. Bummer summer.
Anyway, So that's the end of, hopefully you got some thalassophobia out of your system, Jordan. With
I know, dude. No, I actually, I really liked, we'll have to revisit like watery.
We should. Did
kind you? Of, because we didn't go underwater as much as I wanted to.
I know. There's we not were as on many top good of the water. Ones. Yeah, we got to watch more in the deep, like, we'll just do just like sphere and just like underwater.
Yeah, just a bit.
When they do the deep TV show, apparently that they're doing, we'll watch that.
Well, That should be a bonus episode for sure, dude. Because the deep is so sick, dude. I've been listening to it still.
Did you finish it yet?
Oh my god, no! I'm like 60% done. Okay. It's so good. Yeah,
that's great. Anyway, next month we're moving on to in April. We're doing like martial arts movies, fighting movies of all blends. So go comment on the Reddit about which ones you want to see. Make it to the poll. But the first movie we're starting with next week is Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon. 1973, never seen it. I know it's a classic, and
right, I know I haven't seen it either.
It's
one of his first, so it's
old
like
school
beautiful.
Martial arts movie. So I'm like, yeah, there's no better place to start with martial arts month than there. So go check that out. We're gonna get kung fu fighting. I went and saw an MMA fight last week for a friend's birthday, so that's what got us all hyped for it.
You're gonna start battering your spouse, like,
dude.
Just,
she
like,
would
I
win.
Love,
are you
I
kidding
love,
me?
I love fighting. That's true. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
she was the one. She was throwing fists at the show, dude. She was there being like, "Get him, fuck him up," and I was just there like, "Baby, calm down." And I'm the one that's been drinking anyway. Like,
all
so
right, yeah.
Be there or be square.
Join us on Patreon.
Go to the Reddit.
We've got bonus episodes on there. Stickers. I mailed the stickers. Everybody who does Patreon, I love you. Thank
did
you all.
Did you mail them to me? Because I want.
I did. I mailed
one.
You. I mailed
I
you. I mailed
Mary,
you.
I didn't show Mary yet. So.
Okay. Good. Yes, I did mail you that one, the arrival sticker, okay, and I think I don't know. I think two more or something. Anyways, I mailed a bunch of stickers out to everybody. You're gonna have more stickers on the horizon. We love you guys. Stickers are fun. Come join the Patreon. You'll get a sticker too.
Yeah, stickers. We're gonna be better about doing more bonus movies. We do like a lot of more recent movies that are on the bonus. So.
Yeah.
Keep our finger on the little pulse.
No, you guys.
Okay. That's it.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.